It's been more than a year since the Defense Department published new regulations to expand predatory lending protections for U.S. service members. But with the new rules set to take effect next month, the banking industry says it hasn't had enough time to prepare systems and come into compliance. They're asking federal bank regulators for a six-month reprieve. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about this, the latest with the Military Lending Act, as part of this week's edition of Inside the DoD Reporter's Notebook, and he joins me now with more. Jared, why does everybody have something against good old payday lenders?
Well, it's a particular issue for the military, and it's something that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in particular has been pounding the table on for the last several years. One of the concerns is that these sorts of brick-and-mortar outlets, not just payday lenders, but also title loan shops, pawn shops, electronics kiosks, which we've talked about before, tend to just cluster outside the gates of military bases, making it very clear that the CFPB would say they are preying on military members. You know, the loans are not terrible as long as you pay them off within a reasonable time frame and you don't roll them over. But if you do, which was probably a little bit of a financial education issue, if you continue to do that over and over again, you wind up paying an effective annual percentage rate of, you know, in the triple digits, north of 300% in many cases. So the Military Lending Act that you mentioned was first passed by Congress back in 2006, and it's supposed to cap interest rates at a 36% APR for anybody who's in the military. There were giant loopholes in that, according to CFPB. So Congress came back around in 2014 and tightened it up to basically apply to anything that you could call consumer credit. So they may have gone overboard, they may not have, but that's the issue here. They and the DoD regulations that implemented that MLA update are so expansive that they basically cover all credit, and banks, traditional banks and credit unions who were never really covered by this before and were not really the target of the Military Lending Act in the first place are now covered, and they're very concerned about getting their systems ready in time. The reason for that, as you said, it's been a year since these regulations were passed, but according to the banks, DoD left a lot of vagaries in the regulations that made it really unclear exactly what these financial institutions were supposed to do to comply. The department didn't until last week, or actually it was 2 weeks ago now. 2 weeks ago, they published an extensive list of questions and answers, basically interpreting, giving a legal interpretation of their own regulations. The banks seem happier with that, but now they've only got a month to come into line with those, and they don't think they're going to be able to do it.
This is a lot of activity by Congress, and as you point out, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Is there a lot of evidence that military service members were affected by these types of loaners where they couldn't make their vigorish in the next month?
Yeah, there definitely is, and I don't have the numbers in front of me right this second, unfortunately, but DoD detailed those concerns in a pretty extensive report back in April of this year and really made it a military readiness issue. They just pointed to the fact that if you have financial concerns like this and you're in debt and you can't get out of debt, which is often what happens if you're not responsible with these payday-type loans, you're just not focused on mission, and that's one of their main concerns. So that's one of the reasons that they have implemented these new rules. But again, the irony here is that DoD has been saying all along, you don't need to go to a payday loan shop because there's so many other options out there. One of the options that they've pointed to has been these traditional bank loans, either from banks or credit unions, or even in some cases, zero interest loans from military relief societies, which, you know, wouldn't be implicated by these new rules. But the banks and the credit unions are. One of the reasons they're so worried is that the penalties for any violation of the Military Lending Act are really, really severe. So the full amount of the loan basically gets forfeited to the borrower on top of, you know, any fines that a regulator might assess. So it's a really big deal if you as a financial institution are found to have violated the letter of the law in any way. It's also probably worth pointing out that DoD usually isn't in the business of writing financial regulations, which makes this a really odd situation. They wrote the regulations, which again is not a business they're in, but it's several other federal agencies who are actually in charge of enforcing them. That's the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, the CFPB, the Comptroller of the Currency, and the National Credit Union Administration. And those are the agencies that the banks and the credit unions are going to saying, we really need another 6 months. One of the issues that they're facing is it's really up to the banks and the credit unions. Anytime anyone, literally anyone, applies for credit of any kind, they have to determine whether or not that person is in the military. Right now, there aren't very good systems to do that. There is a
so you should show up in uniform when you go to one of those places.
Well, yeah, but more to the point, the banks, you know, whether you're in the military or not, it's the burden is really on the banks to make sure they verify that you are or you are not. And if you are, then these reduced reduced interest rates apply to you, and a bunch of new disclosures are required. But the only way really right now to find that out is to go to this Defense Manpower Data Center website, manually input the person's name, date of birth, social security number, a really time-consuming exercise. They've been working on some direct data links between the military's personnel systems and the three credit bureaus, which would help a lot because those are obviously systems that the banks query anytime they're pulling somebody's credit file. But sure, there's been some significant delays on DOD's side getting that up and running.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. So basically then payday lenders can still operate, but they just can't operate like the mob.
They can't operate like the mob, and if they, you know, their business model relies on what turn into high annual percentage rates. They're not really 360% in most cases. If you're only taking out a loan for 2 weeks, the fees are relatively small, but annualized they are, and so they would technically run afoul of this 36% interest rate cap, and if they have to live under that, their business model doesn't really work.
All right, so I wanted to also ask you, while we have you, Jared, there's been some serious delays of electronic health records, switching gears here for a moment, in the military. What's going on there?
So, yeah, this is the MHS Genesis program, which is the full commercial replacement of the entire electronic health record for all of DOD. We've talked about before the fact that this contract last year went to Leidos, who's going to implement Cerner software throughout the military health system. The official go-live date for that was supposed to be in early December at a handful of sites in the Pacific Northwest where they were supposed to reach initial operating capability. DOD told us last week that they are running into some pretty significant integration concerns. Basically, the interfaces between that Cerner software that's already been deployed in many commercial health facilities across the country, the interfaces between that and all the legacy systems that hold all of DOD's patient data, those are all going to need to work. And as they've tested several different scenarios, data wasn't flowing in the way that they expected it to and that they hoped to. So they're going to spend the next month or so working up a new schedule. They say it's probably going to be a matter of a few months before things are really back on track. But Stacy Cummings, who's the Program Executive Officer for Defense Health Modernization, told me that they really don't see these kinds of delays as out of the ordinary. You know, anytime you're doing a major deployment of a new health record into a big, complex health system.
So I can tell you that in our research that we've learned that on average, even a commercial provider, when they go through transition, they take 15 to 18 months from contract award to implementation. We're on a very aggressive schedule, so I don't think we're seeing anything out of the norm that you wouldn't see in a commercial with a commercial provider.
Again, that's Stacy Cummings, the PEO for Defense Health Modernization. So again, probably a delay of at least a few months, but they don't think it's going to affect the overall $4.6 billion cost ceiling on this program. And if all goes well, they can hopefully catch up and not have major delays in the final overall full deployment of this new electronic health record.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much for that update.
You bet.
You can read his notebook and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.